Really appreciate your prayers, and really appreciate you guys coming back again. Always encouraging to see faces wanting to hear more, so that's good. So in week one, we looked at what the point of Advent is. What is the point of Jesus coming? Emmanuel, God with us. And week two, we looked at how does his coming affect me? We heard that by coming into this God-forsaken world, Jesus gives us the opportunity, if we choose to take it, of knowing him personally, of receiving his forgiveness, of knowing his peace, knowing his grace, receiving adoption into God's family, knowing joy and hope and love in our hearts. Advent affects you and me if we allow it, because if we commit our lives to Jesus and become his disciples, then we heard that we get it all. Whoever takes the Son gets it all. But you might still be saying, okay, I've heard of all of that, Rog, but so what? Life is still really, really tough, especially as we find ourselves in the grip of this dreadful pandemic that we've all had to endure and live through during 2020. You've talked about hope a lot, but where does it all lead to? What is the end game? What is the end game in all of this? And so today we look at Advent, the future. Advent, the future. Because Advent is not just about the coming of Jesus, born in a dirty stable at that first Christmas time over 2,000 years ago. No, Advent today invites us to look down the road in hope to the day of the second coming of Christ, when all of the promises that were initially fulfilled at his birth will be completely fulfilled at his return. The hope of heaven. So Jesus came 2,000 years ago and accomplished all that God intended for him to do. He showed the way to the Father, and by dying on that cross, he paid the required sacrifice so that all of our wrong stuff, all of our sin can be forgiven. And the grave is empty, folks. Death could not defeat Jesus, because the fantastic news of the gospel is that on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead, and by doing so, he defeated death once and for all. So the end game is this. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says this: for God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So despite all of the evil, all of the terrible things that humankind have done and continue to do to each other, God still loves the world and has given his Son so that we have the promise and glorious hope of life eternal, as he intended it to be right from the start. So for those of us who've accepted that Jesus is the savior of the world and have chosen to follow him, then we look forward to everlasting life with him. But what does that look like? Well, there's many, many differing theological opinions and viewpoints on what eternity is going to look like. And I'm not even going to try and attempt to think or talk about that today. Suffice to say, that when Jesus was here on this earth, he said this in John 14, verse 1 to 3. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. I love that verse. When everything is ready, I will come and get you. I like to believe, this is the Roger Spires take on this, I like to believe that if it has taken him 2,000 years to get everything ready, then heaven is going to be a pretty special place, especially when you look at the amazing beauty and artistry of creation, which the Bible tells us he knocked out in 6 days. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, gives us a window on something of what it will be like. Listen to this. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And the Apostle Paul says this in Philippians chapter 3, we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus lives, and we are eagerly awaiting for him to return as our Saviour, when he will take our weak mortal bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. So who recognises that living in this world is a tough place to be at times, especially in 2020, this most difficult of years? See, we as Christians, unfortunately, we're not exempt from hardships and suffering. I'm sure that all of us have stories of difficulties we have faced or are facing right now as we journey through life. I, for one, still have difficult moments as I think about my lovely mum, who gave her life to serving her Jesus, but whose life was cruelly cut short by motor neurons disease nearly 12 months ago now. But it gives me comfort and hope and encourages me to keep on going on this journey of faith when I remind myself that I am a citizen of heaven. I am a citizen of heaven. Our time here on earth is just a stepping stone into his glorious, everlasting kingdom. The end game results in a place that I cannot comprehend what it will look like, but it will be a place where there is no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, no more depression, no more cancer, no more anxiety, no more MND, no more COVID. Jesus will return. We don't know when. It may or may not be in our lifetime. And to be frank, we shouldn't concern ourselves in thinking about when it might be. We are in a period of waiting, waiting for the final fulfillment of Advent. And whilst we wait, we should devote our lives to living as Peter describes in chapter 3 of his second book, which says this, and so, dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight. And to what Paul says in one of my favourite Bible passages from Romans chapter 12, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. So that is the end game, folks. The fulfillment of the Advent message will be the return of Jesus as the glorious King he is. And as we wait for his return, the end game, let's be a people who devote our lives every single day to worshiping him, to praying to him, allowing the Holy Spirit to move in us and through us. Let's devote our lives every single day to serving him, caring for ourselves, demonstrating his love for humankind wherever we go and to whomever we meet, caring for others, caring for our planet. Let's be a people who devote our lives by placing them before God as an offering. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I can, I give him. I give my heart. God bless you.